This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
And good afternoon, Rutherford County. We're going to have a great show today. And we want to let you know that the first part of this show is brought to you by Gordon Rawson Photography. And that's Al Gordon, a master craftsman photographer, and Larry Rawson, certified craftsman, both hometown guys. And they're the most awarded studio in the Middle Tennessee area, operating a full-service photographic studio in Murfreesboro. They specialize in weddings, high school seniors, and family portraits. Their work is classic, yet current with a creative edge. Al was even awarded the Grand Award for the best wedding image in the world. Gordon Rawson. They look forward to meeting you and treating you like family. And now, through June the 30th, you can get a business portrait, a headshot session, and retouched image on CD, regular price $135. Mention The Truman Show, and you get a special for $79 plus tax. Well, Pat Blankenship, I've been wanting to get you on for a long time. Of course, everybody knows your husband, John.
Yes, they do.
And you have an absolutely gorgeous young lady. And introduce her to all the audience.
The gorgeous young lady sitting to my left is our oldest daughter, Katie.
Yes.
She was our firstborn, and she's currently enrolled in law school at Belmont University in Nashville.
Following the family tradition.
Yes, yes, she is. And she is the head of the music department in our favorite youth arts organization that we both work with. Yeah.
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 Yeah. And yeah stands for?
Yeah stands for Youth Empowerment Through Arts and Humanities.
Uh-huh.
Our historic legacy is in music, and we teach children ages 10 to 17 how to play music in the context of a band.
Wow.
And we allow them to write and perform the music that they like. So we have often a rock and roll feel, sometimes a country feel, but it is all about what the children, the students, are listening to and what they want to create.
Now, you have quite an interesting family.
Yeah.
Because you're strong in the legal field, but yet you're also strong in the arts field. I consider your family more in the music field than anything else.
We have several members of our family who are both left-brained and right-brained.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot claim that phenomenon, but
you're both right.
But John, no, I cannot claim both. But John is one of those that is both left-brained and right-brained. He can be very technical and analytical, and then he's also very expressive and creative. Katie falls into that category. She can be very organized and analytical and task-oriented, but she's also very creative and is a performer in her own right. Her brother Ben, we just got back from visiting Ben. Ben, by occupation, is a filmmaker, videographer, animator,
mm-hmm.
works with computers and milliseconds and frame by frame by frame stop-action animation, and then goes home and plays drums for a band that is coming to Murfreesboro in August, by the way.
Wow.
They're kicking off their national tour here in August as a benefit for Yeah.
So you'll have to be back on a little bit later in the summer.
I will definitely do that.
So we'll know where to go and when to go and
yeah.
all those other things.
I might bring Ben with me and let him tell you. Ben would be great, yes.
Now, you are with John all the time.
Actually, that's not the case.
Well, it seems like it. You mean you're at work with him, and then every time I see him performing, which is quite often, I mean, he's all over the place, you're there too, and you're supporting John on anything that he does, and he's also very supportive of what you do. And I
yes,
think that,
that
that's
is
quite nice.
Well, thank you. Our partnership has worked out very nicely. Most people ask us, how in the world do you practice law together? And it is because what he is really good at and mm-hmm. likes to do, I don't care for. And what I am really good at and like to do, he doesn't really care for. So we've been able to complement each other in our professional lives. Mm-hmm. And we actually got into the arts through the children. Katie appeared in a sixth grade school play as Emily in our town, brought the house down. Everybody was in tears. You know, mm-hmm. when Emily says her final goodbye and goes back to the graveyard, Katie had not succeeded unless she had the audience crying. And it was really, no kidding, was such a good show. Gail Porterfield, we were at Bellwood at the time, mm-hmm. and Gail Porterfield had directed that show. And it really was such a good show that I felt it was too good just to perform once for the parents. Mm-hmm. So I got involved with Murfreesboro Little Theater. They let us perform over at the Little Log Cabin. Next thing I know, we're auditioning at Cannon County Arts Center. The kids are on stage, and John and I are backstage throwing costumes and props and helping kids make sure they're on their marks and mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And when Cannon County did Big River, which is a huge cast, it's a musical, I said to John, why don't we audition? And we can just do bit parts and we can be on stage with the kids this time. He said, I don't know how to act. I don't know how to do that. This is John, yes.
Okay.
He said, I don't know about this. I don't know anything about theater. I don't know how to act, that sort of thing. I said, just audition. They'll put us in the back. Don't worry. Mm. They cast him as a lead. He played the Duke. And he got to act, sing, and dance.
Was it the Duke of Earl?
The Duke of... No, not in that show. He's done some Duke of Earl since then, though. But he got to act, sing, and dance, and got bitten by the theater bug so bad that I can't get him off stage anymore. The kids have all outgrown it and moved on. He's still on stage, both here in Murfreesboro and up in Cannon County. Now, we do have one child who is a professional actor, I should say that. He's all right-brained.
Now, where is he performing?
Well, he has been living in Nashville and running the Murder Mystery Company Dinner Theater in Nashville.
Now, where is that? I'm not familiar with it.
They performed at Chaffin's Barn Dinner Theater in their little backstage.
Uh-huh.
I'll brag just a little bit. This company is all over the country. They've got divisions in Seattle, Los Angeles, New York, Chicago. And by the time Joe got his company up and running at Chaffin's, his company was enjoying the best reviews from the audience of any company in the country.
Wow.
So we were very, very proud of him. He has now gone back to the West Coast to finish his college degree, mm-hmm. looking for acting gigs and improv comedy gigs out there.
Is that how you get started? Katie, you know a lot about this. When you're young right now and you're wanting to get into the entertainment business, mm-hmm. Is that one of the best stepping stones, is to get involved in your local art centers and all the plays? And because I tell you what, we have got a great situation right here for performing artists, because you have Murfreesboro and then you have Woodbury, the Cannon County Center,
right.
and they just really have top flight plays going on, musicals, dramas, whatever.
No,
is that something you've been interested in?
Absolutely, and that's exactly how our family and everybody that we know in the arts and in music have started their careers and have succeeded in that way. You know, we've mm-hmm. seen, I think, all of us, like Mama Santa, started in community theater. I know so many people who've done that and gone mm-hmm. on to do more. Joe just appeared in a local film that premiered at Green Hills. We were there, mm-hmm. really proud of him. He got his start right there in Cannon County on that stage. And we see it in music, too. We have this amazing music scene in Murfreesboro and Nashville, and everybody has started as part of this local music community and culture. Mm-hmm. And now we know a number of people who are touring the country and making a life out of that. And it all starts by being invested in where you're from and following that and being, you know, the relationship that you have here.
You guys are so strong in the law practice because you have one of the best anywhere that I know
you.
Of.
Thank you, Trevor.
Very, anybody that wouldn't pick the Blankenships would have to be out of their minds because you guys are really good.
Well, thank you.
But you can listen to John sing while he's sitting there going over whatever problem you
well,
have.
That's part of the retainer.
Exactly.
Once you get in, he does a little ballad and introduces. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you know something that's interesting about you guys is we have a lot of what we call family entertainers that go by their last name. I think the one that always comes up and hits me first is the Frost that go all the way back over 100 years that mm-hmm. they've all been singing together with different groups and things like that. Does that interest you, Katie, or are you just totally committed right now to make sure that you get your law degree and pass the bar and all that stuff? And are you currently thinking about maybe hanging your shingle with the rest of the Blankenships?
Well, the way that I got into this is because they threw me in the office. I was 14 years old and put me to work.
Well, that's terrible.
I begged to differ. She begged to go to work.
So you were brainwashed.
I was brainwashed from the beginning. Yeah. I really have no choice in this at all. Now, my main priority, of course, right now is passing and making good grades and passing
the
bar.
Which I have no doubt.
So I got to get that done first. But the way I got back into this is the last few years I had moved home after being in New York for a while and was working with but was also working with Dad mm-hmm. and was really his main assistant and all the stuff he was doing. I fell in love with what he's, his practice and how he handles his practice. And so I'm totally inspired by mm-hmm. how they have built their business and created our family business. And, you know, it comes from my grandfather, too. They didn't mm-hmm. Start with my dad's dad in Nashville, in East Nashville. And so that absolutely inspires me. I don't know where we'll be by the time I finish in 2014, but, I'm absolutely here because of what my parents have done.
Have you helped your dad and your mom in preparations of cases and things like that? Have you done research?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
That's the most interesting thing to me.
Yeah, and that's been the most helpful, I'll tell you, the most helpful in going through, because we just completed our first year at Belmont with the charter class, so we just finished our first year. And that experience of understanding, both how to read a file, how to research it, look at what a client needs, and then also how to talk to your clients mm-hmm. and be empathetic of their situation, it has helped me all year so much. It's just invaluable. And Dad does a lot of mediation arbitration work, which is all about, what is the best way, the most economical, the most fair way to reach a balance, to reach a resolution. Mm-hmm. And that mindset of bringing that into practice is just, it's helped me tremendously.
Does the complication of the historical searches in law, does that sometimes become overburdening to you, especially when you're in school and you're and they give you certain cases to follow up on? It's really interesting to me also, Pat, that the law goes back a couple of hundred years. And as we're looking at it, there are so many laws that have been put on the book that are forgotten. And we put a lot of emphasis on case law, how things worked at a certain time.
Absolutely.
And that's supposed to be your first step toward your particular case. But I've always found it interesting to know that most lawsuits or legal cases would have to do with a criminal intent, they're always so different. And then when you put case law to something that really it doesn't pertain to, it really becomes complicated.
It does, and it was interesting because this last semester she was taking constitutional law as mm-hmm. a class. I was teaching constitutional law at UT Martin. I'm an adjunct business law instructor down there. And I absolutely love teaching constitutional law because it's so current. And you turn on the TV and there's three or four different constitutional issues being talked about right there. And I said that to her, and she said, "We all hate constitutional law. We're back in the 1700s reading the original cases, and that tell us whether the Supreme Court can decide this and what their powers are, and we're not even getting to talk about the current events. And so we both had a completely different experience with constitutional law at the exact same time, and it had to do with that historic, old school body of law as opposed to what's being made right now, the current.
You know, it
events.
Almost seems like they change everything from generation to generation. It's almost like, well, in 1740, George Washington was born on a certain day. And now we say, oh, no, George Washington was actually born on 1745 on a certain day, just to meet whatever your specific needs are at the time. Do you think that we have gotten away from the original intent of the Constitution as it pertains to court law?
I'm not going to say that I do believe that. I'm not going to say that I've actually thought of it in that context. Mm-hmm. I think of the Constitution as a living, breathing,
right,
flexible, interpretable document. It was not perfect when it was written. It has been amended. It has been interpreted as years go by. Our culture changes. Our needs change. Our technologies mm-hmm. change. But that Constitution continues to be applicable and relevant to the issues as they come up today. I totally get freedom of speech and want freedom of speech to be totally protected. But the citizens case that the U.S. Supreme Court ruled last year that allows so much money to come into the election process without transparency, while those corporations do have freedom of speech, has created a bit of a monster for all of us in the electorate. So how do you balance those two things? And I don't know the answer, obviously, but I can see the result of what upholding the Constitution has in our current situation and our current events. So it is definitely complicated, and there are no easy answers. But
yeah,
we got to keep looking at it all the time.
Things have changed so much in our country, and I think the intent of our forefathers when they wrote the Constitution was pure in spirit, and it related to that time. And it's hard for me to believe that as a nation, as people, that we have really changed so much, because back then I don't think that they utilized freedom of speech or thought about it in the way that we do now.
No, I think that's true. I think case law has developed the way we think about free speech now.
What do you think as a younger person, Katie?
Well, I'm sitting here listening to what you're both saying. It's so funny because this is the main thing that we got from our constitutional law class this semester, of learning this debate of an originalist intent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're taking it, that we should look at the framers' intent of what they meant. And it's that what it was at that point was pure, and it doesn't change. And that carries us through mm-hmm. to a more philosophical approach that we that our law is a living, breathing thing and grows mm-hmm. with us as we grow and change. And that was our main sort of point of reference as we move through the course. And I think, you know, it's just, there's never this easy answer. There's never a real right or wrong. Of course, we want to look back to the framers' intent, because it is this, it is how we've gotten here. It is what we should base, you know, it's our whole system of government we base ourselves on. Mm-hmm. But then you also see that we have cases that we wouldn't have ever imagined at that time. And
right.
So you have to think about, well, what does this mean now? We have to take it as we are growing and we are changing all the time. Just if you just think about how technology has changed. If you looked at the U.S. Supreme Court decision in U.S. v. Jones that just came out this year, mm-hmm. about what does it mean to be, what constitutes a trespass and a search and seizure? The framers of the Constitution never even thought we would be able to stick a GPS on a truck and figure out when a guy was coming and going for mm-hmm. 30 days of his life. So we just have demands as our, you know, as part of our maturation that makes us sort of have to reimagine these things. But I don't think that a philosophical approach necessarily contradicts this original intent. We can take that and say, well, they intended this in such and such time, but now what does it mean for us today?
But how can we look inside those great minds of what their particular intent? And you know as well as I do, Katie, and you're going to find out in the courtroom that it's not always the law that is won inside the courtroom. It's a really, really sharp attorney. And you can talk about the balance and the fairness of law and all those things like that. But I have seen an attorney with great workmanship go in and mold his case in such a way that even though you don't believe in what his particular case is aimed at, you believe him.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone back to this movie many times, but To Kill a Mockingbird mm-hmm. is one of the great examples of law in its purest form, the way it's supposed to be, and you see the prejudices of the jury and all the other things that are involved in court. But it's still the best legal system set up, and it was set up because those particular individuals saw what the particular needs are. And is it fair for a really, really good attorney to mess with a law that was set up for another attempt?
Well, I think obviously, I have not gotten my years of courtroom experience under my belt.
Of course, if you represent me, I want that.
But I think when we think of, and I think that's a great example, if you think about Atticus Finch and mm-hmm. what he meant, what he represents is our sort of perfect, iconic attorney. Mm-hmm. But really, all that Atticus did was, keep his head down and plow ahead with what he thought was right. And it's all about being committed and being prepared mm-hmm. and knowing what you're talking about. And I've learned that just in a first year of law school. So people, like, we're just now getting all of our grades back. We're figuring out, law school's big about rank and who's doing well. And, it's all about, it's just how are we ranked and all these sort of things. But the people who are succeeding are not, they're not loud and boisterous and they're not super smart or anything like that. They're just doing the work. They're mm-hmm. putting their head to the page
right.
and they're committed and they're doing the work. And that's exactly what we see in that case. And I think of the best attorneys I've seen, and I've, like I said, my dad has inspired me to do this. And that's what I've seen from him, is just a commitment to doing the work that has to be done and being fully prepared always, and just showing that commitment through your work ethic. So I think that's if I'm hiring an attorney, that's what I look for or would look for. And again, going back to what my mom said, the law is a living thing.
It is.
We can interpret the law in any number of ways. We all think about and read things differently. And so as long as you are acting for the benefit of your client and you're doing so with diligence and preparation and organization and commitment, I think you're doing the right thing.
But you not only use the technical part of the law, but you have to use a way to communicate to the judge and to the jury. And is that something that they teach you in law school, is how do you get your point across to where the jury can be more agreeable towards your position?
Well, we haven't done jury yet, but mm-hmm. we talk about the judge mm-hmm. all the time. We have legal reading and research. Reading and research and writing is a course we take both semesters, mm-hmm. and our mantra for that is know your audience. You have to know who you're writing to, and in law, you're writing to the smallest audience there is. You're writing to a judge and his clerks, mm-hmm. usually her clerks, his or her clerks, and so you are constantly thinking about how do I write this in a way that he or she will understand, will appreciate, that is professional, that is to the point. This person has a docket full of cases. And how do I communicate this in a way that I am appealing to their station and what they need and what they are looking to me to do as a professional?
Mm-hmm.
So you're always thinking about, your communication skills, how you get across what you need to get across as well and as clearly and as quickly and easily as possible.
What about putting yourself in a role like Atticus Finch? And when you're talking to the jury, you have to show compassion. You have to show that you are extremely interested in your client's future when you're talking to them. To me, it's almost like you're in a role, R-O-L-E, mm-hmm. and you have to perform at the highest level for your particular client, because whatever interest he has or has to be the most important thing to you at that time.
I think it's interesting you use the word perform, mm-hmm. because I'm going to take us back to just for a moment.
Okay.
We are absolutely committed not only to teaching music but to performance, mm-hmm. because we believe that something magic happens when you put a child on stage and teach them how to successfully perform for an appreciative audience. Then that success of communicating what they are feeling and thinking, what they've written, what they are playing, mm-hmm. to successfully communicate that with an audience and know that an audience gets what you just played, changes people. It makes them more powerful. That's part of our mission, is to empower them. And we empower them through performance. Mm-hmm. And when we do that, what we do is not only teach them how to perform as singers and guitar players and drum players, but we teach them how to perform in their roles as citizens, as employees. They learn how to collaborate with each other, how to make decisions as a group, how to work together as a team, because a band has at least 4 to 5 people in it, mm-hmm. and they all have to make decisions together. Now, we talk about preparation, and you were talking about preparation. It has always been mine and John's philosophy that the way you win a lawsuit is to be better prepared than the other guy.
Right.
As long as you're better prepared than he is, you've got a really good chance of pulling that off. We have the same philosophy at Yeah, and I've been to meetings with Katie where we are preparing. She's our leader in the music department, mm-hmm. where we are preparing for camps. And it is as rigorous a preparation to get ready for those kids to come in as it is to prepare a case. Mm-hmm. We care deeply that when those kids walk in the door with us and their parents entrust them to us for 8 hours a day, 6 days in a week, that they're getting something that is very valuable. And yes, they get music, and yes, they get performance skills, but they get citizenship, they get leadership, they get modeled for them problem solving, creativity. And the other thing I wanted to get back to that she mentioned earlier, you asked about starting in your local community,
right.
if you wanted to get into show business. Mm-hmm. We run our camps with volunteers. Most of our volunteers are from the local music community here mm-hmm. in Murfreesboro and in Nashville. About 2 years ago, we had a camp. Southern Girls Rock and Roll Camp is our flagship camp. It was our first camp. We had 90 campers and 87 volunteers.
Wow.
That's a one-to-one ratio.
Wow, that's unbelievable.
We have musicians in this community who have real jobs. I mean, other jobs. They play mm-hmm. music on the side because they love it, but they have to sling pizza or coffee or wait tables so mm-hmm. that they can make a living. But they take their week's vacation during the summer of camp week so that they can be there to share their music with these kids. They come prepared, they come committed, they come loving what they're doing so much that they're willing to give up their vacations to do it.
That just shows you, when you have something as powerful, that as influential as that is, that so many people want to be a part of it because they know how important it is. And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Pat and Katie Blankenship.
All
across the South, fans young and old gather to root on their favorite Atlanta Braves.
Driven. Oh, my.
High and deep to right field. Way out of here. A two-run mammoth home run for Freddie Freeman.
They listen together, taking in every moment of Chipper's final season.
The pitch to Chipper. Hit high and deep. Chipper Jones has blistered one to right center field.
This is Why We Chop.
Atlanta Braves baseball is on WGNS. This is Good Neighbor Events, brought to you by the Rutherford Home Show, Saturday mornings at 11:30 on WGNS, the Omni Hut Restaurant in Smyrna, and AmeriCare Pest Control.
I've got pests.
AmeriCare Services Incorporated, family-owned and operated for residential and commercial customers, we offer a full range of services. Our services include one-time, monthly, and quarterly pest control, termite control, moisture and fungus control, automatic foundation vents, and more. Licensed, insured, and bonded for your protection. 893-7111.
Call the best of the best to get rid of your pests.
AmeriCare Services Incorporated.
It's Tuesday, May the 29th, and renowned social activist and poet Nikki Giovanni speaks tonight at the New Vision Baptist Church as a part of the Life in the Bottom series from Middle Tennessee State University. That'll be at 5:30. Phone 867-2633. There are two GED adult classes tonight, both at 6 o'clock, one at the Patterson Community Center at 521 Mercury Boulevard, the other at the Family Learning Center at 607 Bridge Avenue. For information, call 893-7439. And girls' basketball camp over at MTSU starts tonight, 6 until 9, tonight through Thursday night. Phone 904-3780 for information. That starts tonight. And photographs by Dan Whittle are on display at the Art Center of Cannon County right now through June 30th. And on hot days, fans and air conditioners do save lives. And on days like this, check with your senior citizen friends to be sure that they're okay. And if you know of someone who needs a fan or an air conditioner, call Dwight Ogleton at the Kool-Aid Program, 818-2459. Those are Good Neighbor Events.
Hi, I'm Dr. Patrick Showalter.
And I'm Dr. Chad Jackson. Did you know that Middle Tennessee Medical Center is home to the Da Vinci Surgical Robot and that we are the first surgeons to use the robot in Rutherford County?
When faced with prostate cancer, the Da Vinci robot makes surgery an excellent option.
It allows for quicker recovery, less blood loss, and studies suggest it may be the most effective, least invasive treatment option for improving cancer outcomes.
For more information or to find a Da Vinci Robot certified physician, visit mtmc.org.
If you want to get some barbecue, I'll tell you how to do it. Head for the Slick Pig and you're into it. Just walk through the door at 1920 East Main and your nose will send a message right to your brain.
Now at Slick Pig Barbecue, try the Catfish Special. Wednesday night between 4 and 8 o'clock. $9.99 plus tax for all-you-can-eat catfish. The meal includes hush puppies, white beans, and homemade coleslaw at Slick Pig Barbecue.
Okay, Murfreesboro, the quack is back. That's right, you heard it here first. The Ducks are back in town on June 23rd for the Sudsy's Car Wash Child Advocacy Center Rubber Duck Derby. We plan to float 10,000 rubber ducks down the Stones River, all to raise money for the Child Advocacy Center of Rutherford and Cannon Counties. $5 gets a duck entered into the race for a chance to win a $5,000 cash grand prize. You can adopt your ducks online at duckrace.com/Murfreesboro.
It's the Truman Show, a look at the people and news shaping Rutherford County with Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Pat and Katie Blankenship. And we want to let you know that this part of their show is brought to you by At Home Care. And that's Melissa Warren's business. And it's located at 237 Castlewood Drive, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And they come into your home 24/7. When you're no longer able to take care of the duties that you've had pretty much since you've had your home, and now all of a sudden you're not able to be able to handle those things, well, they can come in and do it for you. They will come in and make sure everything is taken care of inside the house. They'll run errands for you. All you have to do is just lay back, enjoy your retirement, and have it like you always dreamed it would be. If that sounds good to you, give them a call, 713-4639 or pull them up on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. This is so interesting. I know that we've gotten a little bit away from and we really need to tackle it a little bit more. Now, you've already told me what the intent of is, but tell me how an individual gets in touch with you who's interested, and what you do from that time in creating a different environment for it. And when I think about young kids on the stage, I think about my boys, and both of them appeared on stage when they were, I think, in about the third grade or second grade. And there's something interesting about how they react, because I remember one of them was still just as active as he could be, enjoying the people out in the audience, and the other one walked out and just froze. I mean, froze. You kept waiting for the hook to come out and grab him and pull him off the stage. Is that something that you guys work on, and do you bring it to mind of each individual that you have?
Yes,
every day. Mm-hmm. We do several things through Youth Empowerment through Arts and Humanities. We do year-round programming through Mom Runs a Theater program. We also have a music program called Rock Block, where kids get in bands, and after 8 weeks, they play a show. And then all year, we're working on these rock and roll camps, which is what we're really gearing up for
rock
now.
Rock and roll camps.
Rock and roll camps. Mm-hmm. And that's where we started, and that's really where we're working for that all year long and sort of what we're known for. But in that one-week period, camp is 1 week, day camp, Monday through Friday, and then on Saturday, the kids play in a culminating showcase.
Mm-hmm.
And within that week period, they take instrument lessons, guitar, bass, drums, vocals, keyboards, and they participate in workshops that are music-based, music sort of DIY, do-it-yourself, indie music-based, like songwriting, recording, and stuff like that. And then every day they have band practice. But they are coming in starting on Monday, and they form their own bands, which is a sight to see. They're given about 10 minutes for these kids to run around and get in their bands. But from Monday until Friday, they have 2 hours with band coaches. We call them their band managers. And they get ready for the show on Saturday. But we have an open-door policy with all of our camps that you don't have ever had to have touched an instrument before you've come to camp. And a lot of our kids haven't. And so they, in 1 week, are picking up a guitar or bass or drumsticks or whatever it is they're doing and getting ready to collaborate and write their very own song and perform it. And so every single day we're talking about, what does it mean to function as a band? Because it's a team. It's the same thing you talk about in sports. It's the same thing you talk about as an adult in your business with your work team. How do you collaborate and listen to each other? How do you take the I out of it? This is not an ego thing. And how do you get ready to be on stage? And what does it mean to present something that's yours, that you love, that you care about, that you created to an audience? And it's absolutely incredible what happens in a week period. We'll have kids come in on Monday who are terrified. You can't get them close to a microphone. They're back here on the microphone. They won't turn up their amps. They're terrified. And by Friday, I mean, you're wearing earplugs and going, I mean, they're just going for it. They love it. And the change that you see when a kid walks on stage and plays their song and plugs in with their band behind them is phenomenal. I mean, it breaks my heart.
The audience,
year. I love it.
Would that be their parents?
It's a mix. We have, of course, all of their family comes, but it's usually a big deal. They bring grandparents, aunts, uncles, all that sort of stuff. Our volunteers are huge supporters. Obviously, they've committed their week, but they always come to the showcase. They want to see their kids perform. They've been working with all week, and then all their friends.
Mm-hmm.
So we usually have a pretty big constituency of musicians, local musicians. And then, the kids bring their friends from school. We always have, usually by the end of every showcase, we have a sort of like a mosh pit, although we hopefully keep them calmer than that. But they're at the front of the stage, 40, 50 kids just clapping and singing and excited to see their friends on stage. So it's a mix. But for Southern Girls Rock and Roll Camp, which my mom mentioned, we're in our, this will be our 10th year. We usually have an audience of anywhere from up to 700 people, 750
people.
We fill Tucker Theater
at
MTSU for showcase.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's a big
show. It's a big deal, and it's full on light, sound. It's a real rock and roll show.
Yeah, they play a professional
experience.
Show.
But are we actually listening to Bill Haley and the Comets?
No, you're listening to the original songs that these kids have written. Now, it depends on what they like. If they like pop music, they're going to play, they're going to write a pop song. Mm-hmm. If they like country music, they're going to write a country song. Mm-hmm. But so it's all very individualized and creative based on the band's collaboration between themselves as to what kind of music they want to focus on.
Now, you're talking about being creative, but you're also talking about miracles, because you're talking about putting kids with instruments that they don't know anything about and really probably know very little or nothing about music. How in the world can you get something going that quickly?
All right, I'm going to speak to this because Katie may not brag on herself enough.
I can tell she's very modest.
Yes.
Yeah.
But
she's sitting there patting herself on the back while we're talking.
Not true.
It is absolutely amazing to me what these musicians can and do with these children.
All right, there we go.
These musicians, these volunteer musicians, and the year-round skeletal staff that is able to afford, are so committed to these children and so knowledgeable about music and performance that they can take a child who has never held a guitar and prepare him in 6 days to play a rock and roll show to a crowd of 800 students. It has amazed me from the beginning. Every time I go to a showcase, I am blown away by the quality of the talent that they're able to bring out in these children. And that's not to shortchange the children. We get students, campers, who are very talented, very creative. Some of them come already with a lot of experience. But those kids who have no experience find a place in that camp. They feel right at home, and they make themselves performers with the help of an incredible group of volunteer musicians, which I just can't say enough about. They're just wonderful.
Can I add to that?
Yes, please.
I think a lot of what happens is that when we're talking about music programs, obviously, and music is what we love and music is what we do, but we think of these programs as music is just the vehicle to get us to what we really want to do, which is empower young people through their creativity in any way that we can to make them free and expressive, collaborative individuals. And I think that makes a big difference in what we in the progress that we see in them. We don't ask kids to come to camp to become the absolute best guitar player in the world. That's great if they do. If that's their dream, we support them in that. But it is much more important for me for a kid to walk away with an empowered self-worth than to be able to play the most incredible guitar riff I've ever heard. They are absolutely given fundamental skills of music, and they are given skills to be able to get them on stage and collaborating with their band. But what we're giving them all week is this lesson that you can do this. If you want this, you can do it. We want you to be able to feel like you can do anything you want. And so I think what you see happen in a week is not so much a miracle of I've didn't know what a guitar looked like to now, you know, I can you know, do session work in Nashville. It's I didn't know I could do this, and now I feel like I can, and I'm not afraid to show you what I've learned and put it out there. And I think that makes a huge difference just in how we approach the mission of it.
I can see where you could have maybe kids on opposite ends of the spectrum. You could have some come in, have absolutely no musical skills at all, and really want to, but the aptitude for it is just not there. And then you would have other kids that would come in who are just blow you away. And do you find, are there channels that you can send those kids through your program that can enhance what that particular gifted child is trying to do?
Well, what usually happens with all of our camps is we have beginning, intermediate, and advanced instrument classes. Mm-hmm. So depending on where they are, they get funneled into one of those classes. Mm-hmm. I'm of the firm believer that anybody who wants to play music can play music, but there are obviously some of us who are more blessed with natural talent than others. That just happens. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty of our kids that are, like I said, they're there and they have a desire to play music, but it's not what they're going to take with them so much as what they gain from this sort of self-worth feeling that we're giving them. Mm-hmm. But for the kids that come in that are natural players or have just really committed a lot of time and they're more advanced, we see them come back year after year after year, and I mean, they will. They'll blow you away. I mean, we have kids that come to camp every year, and the volunteers are rivaling over who's going to ask them to be their drummer in the band as soon as they turn 18. Like, we want that kid in our band. And so we definitely try to focus on them, focus on their talents, help them to concentrate when they are obviously so invested in the music. And we do that through the advanced lessons. A lot of our volunteers teach privately, and we get them hooked up with their teachers afterwards so they can continue throughout the year. And then we see a lot of them participate in Rock Block throughout the year. And we do an advanced Rock Block program for kids who are a little older or more just experienced. So we're constantly trying to feed that too for these kids who have really shown a natural ability or just a real desire and commitment. But we also are simultaneously keeping the door open to say, you know, this is not the only personality sort of person that works here. It is open to absolutely everybody, and there's a place for you no matter how you feel about, you know, where you want to take it.
You have many of them come in that have had musical lessons in the more complicated fields, piano, brass, violin, those type things.
Sure. And we've had a lot of them bring those on stage. We've had a lot of kids come in and say, you know, I'm a cellist, or we had a girl play saxophone last year. It was awesome. And they'll usually take in it, because we don't usually offer those sort of instruments in our morning instrument classes, but they usually want to take guitar, drums, or keyboards because they want to experience something else. But in their band space, they'll be like, they're already have some musical background, and they'll speak to their band managers and say, I just hear my saxophone here, or I hear my cello here. And we're always like, absolutely, bring it in. So we've had a cellist on stage before, viola, violin, saxophone. You know, we encourage them to bring that in and let it cross over, because I think what gets them so excited about that is that, you know, as a kid, when you first start taking, I remember taking piano lessons for years as a kid, and you get really bored playing your, you know, out of your musical book that your teacher gives you, and, you know, it's a great skill set to have, but kids get bored. They want to play the music that they like and they hear on the radio, and so when they get a chance to break out of doing their scales or this and that or whatever they're learning, maybe in their private lessons, and apply it to this rock and roll atmosphere, they love it, and we love it. It's great, so.
Now, the contact that you have after they leave, do you follow them, and do they respond back to you about some of the things they've learned and what they're doing now is simply because of their life skills that they've learned plus the musical part? Do you see where they've improved so well that it's becoming extremely important to them?
As a general rule, we have those kind of campers come back and serve as volunteers.
Wow.
Katie's assistant director is a former camper.
Mm-hmm.
The Southern Girls Rock and Roll Camp director, Tiffany, is a former camper. We've got lots of campers who outgrow being campers, and so they come back and become volunteers. They stay involved with us. We have a newsletter that has a mailing list of upwards of 2,500 people now.
Oh, good night.
Many of whom are previous campers and their families, and previous volunteers and their families. The volunteers keep coming back. They keep bringing the kids that they know. They encourage the kids that they know. We've got kids coming from all over the country for Southern Girls Rock and Roll Camp.
Oh,
their
wow.
families take their vacations in Murfreesboro so their kids can attend Southern Girls Rock and Roll Camp. Or their kids come and stay with their grandparents who live in Murfreesboro so they can go to Southern Girls Rock and Roll Camp. So, yes, we have contact with them, and they stay in touch with us. And one of the things that we're doing for the 10-year anniversary is trying to bring as many of those campers and volunteers back for Showcase. Showcase will be an amazing phenomenon this year, because we're going to go back and review everything that we've done over the last 10 years with video footage, with interviews with kids and volunteers who have been through our programs. They're going to tell us what it meant to them, how it's changed their lives, how they apply what they learned in their current situations. Mm-hmm. So, yes, we definitely keep up with them, and they keep up with us.
Now, the Southern Girls Rock and Roll, that's an advanced group, right?
No, that's the same sort of program.
Oh, it really is?
It's 10 to 17. Okay. Yeah, we've run it the exact same way.
Now, you don't have any guys in there, do you?
That one is all girls. All right. But all of the other music camps that we've developed are co-ed programs. So we have Southern Girls, mm-hmm. Rock and Roll Camp in Murfreesboro at MTSU. Mm-hmm. And like we said, it's our 10-year. We're bringing back all of our old campers and volunteers. We've got a 10-year fundraising campaign. We're trying to raise for all of our scholarships. That's on our website, which is sgrrc.org. And we also have Wanda Jackson coming and performing for the kids this year, which is just going to be amazing. We're really excited about that show, and it's actually open to the public. So if anybody wants tickets, you can get that on the website too. But then there's Tennessee Teens Rock Camp, and we have two sessions of that. That's co-ed in Murfreesboro and Nashville. And the Murfreesboro one is coming up quick. That is June 11th through the 16th at McFadden School of Excellence. And McFadden has been great to us. They opened their doors to us last year. We really appreciate their space and look forward to being back there. And then in Nashville, we're at the University School, which is a beautiful facility. This is our fourth year for that camp, and we've been there since the beginning, and they are just phenomenal people. They just are so helpful to us. So we're really lucky in all these local schools and principals and school leaders coming out and being so supportive too.
Now, there's a number of questions, I guess, that need to be answered. One is, how does an individual, a family, get to enroll their child with you guys in the program to start with?
Well, the easiest thing is to go online and fill out online applications. We have camper and scholarship applications, and I'll say something about the scholarship program really quickly too. Okay. If you don't mind, we have made a commitment in the last few years to have an unlimited number of need-based scholarships. Tuition for every camp is $300, but again, we offer these unlimited, and it's a good deal. We try to keep it as financially viable as possible. Mm-hmm. But we also have a never say no policy as much as we can. If you take the time to fill out a need-based scholarship, mm-hmm. have your child, you know, send us an essay about why they want to come, we find a way to get you there. And in the 5 years since we've started this, we have never turned a child away, never said no to a scholarship
application.
Congratulations
to you for that.
We are very proud of that. We'll continue to do that. So I don't want anybody listening to think that if they've fallen on hard times, like so many of us have lately, that they can't send their kid to camp. We mm-hmm. will find a way. But the best way to apply for either of those things is to go on the website. You can go to Yeah, which is Y-E-A-H in the borough.org. And then we have individual camp websites, which is sgrrc.org. That stands for Southern Girls Rock and Roll Camp. And then we have tntrockcamp.org. Or you can always call our office, which is 615-849-8140.
And we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you.
Some of you might have heard of the Doughboy Challenge for Charity. Well, it's back. I'm Katie, and I work for General Mills here in Murfreesboro, and I'm excited for this year's 7th annual Doughboy Challenge, a 5K run to raise money for 3 local charities. This year, we are partnering with Nash Vegas Rollers, the Exchange Club, and CASA of Rutherford County. Last year, we raised over $35,000, and this year, our goal is over $50,000. On June 9th, be a part of our 5K on the Square. Bring the kids and be a part of our local Murfreesboro community. If you have questions or want to register, check out DoughboyChallenge.com.
This is Freda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We offer checking that comes with a free check card, free mobile and internet banking, as well as free bill payer service. You can also have your monthly bank statement sent directly to your email. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. Come and see for yourself why there's a difference at First National Bank of Murfreesboro, 2230 Mercury Boulevard. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Some of the best food in town is at Stones River Mount.
I like the lunch meal. Today we're having chicken, and I like baked chicken better than fried chicken. I love to play the piano for people. They enjoy the music, and I enjoy all the entertainment that goes on in the manor.
Everyone loves Stones River Manor. Stop by for a tour.
Hi, this is Wade Hayes of Toots Good Food and Fun Restaurant. With all the new restaurants in the community, I try to try them all out, and sure enough, many of them have fried pickles. But I'm proud to say no one does them like we do. They're light, they're crispy, and served with your choice of homemade ranch dressing or homemade blue cheese dressing. And we've been serving them now for 27 years. Come on down to Toots and get some fried pickles.
Toots, good food and fun.
Toots,
good food and fun.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back. And, of course, Pat Blankenship and Katie, you were wanting to mention a couple of things real quick. Unfortunately, when you have great guests on, time just flies by.
Time flies when you're having fun.
It does. It really does.
We wanted to talk about the dates for our camps, and Katie helped me. The first one that's coming up is the TNT Rock Camp in Murfreesboro, which will be held at McFadden School of Excellence, June 11 through 16.
Good.
The second camp is Tennessee Teens Rock Camp in Nashville at University School. Can you say the dates?
June 25th through the 30th.
And then Southern Girls Rock and Roll Camp takes place
It's July 23rd through the 28th at MTSU.
And as Katie was saying, we are committed to unlimited need-based scholarships for families who cannot afford to send their kids to camp. We talked about John and his showmanship.
Yes.
John, of course, has a band that is known as Johnny B and the Balladeers. They have been very kind.
I thought
it was
John Blankenship and Friends, and now you're giving them another name.
Well, it used to be.
It used to be.
And we changed it.
We don't know when they changed it.
but at any rate, every first Thursday of the month, Johnny B and the Balladeers show up at Uncorked at 5 o'clock and put on a benefit concert for there's no cover charge, but there's a donation jar if you want to make a donation to you can get some music, get some food, get some wine. On Thursday, June 7th,
over the Maple Street.
Over Maple Street.
Right.
On Thursday, June 7th, all the proceeds of that benefit concert will go to fund scholarships for Southern Girls Rock and Roll Camp and Tennessee Teens Rock Camps. So we really would like to see as many people come out as possible, join us, enjoy the music, and support getting kids to camp.
And I'll say one last thing about our upcoming Tennessee Teens Rock Camp in Murfreesboro. Again, that's our co-ed program, but we are still looking for a few volunteers for that camp. So if anybody has any musical experience that would love to come and hang out with the kids all week, it will change your life. It changed mine. It will be the most fun you've ever had. And we're looking for some guitar teachers and drum instructors right now, and anybody who wants to hang out and help band manage the kids and get them on stage. But it'll be an amazing week. These kids will do amazing things, and we would love to have you come join us. And all volunteers can sign up on the website as well, and that's tntrockcamp.org.
I can't think of anything nicer that you guys do for the community, and it's not just here.
Well, thank you.
It's all over, and it's amazing how it has national attention now, that they come in from everywhere for the Southern girls. And I can't say enough about what you have done for these people.
Well, thank you.
And I presume that John helps you a little bit. Anybody that has the authority, the same authority of the King of England did, he really does. I tell you what.
I hope he's not listening.
I do too. His head is
swelling. He won't be able
swelling.
To let this down all week.
You know, I have seen John perform for a long time, and I love his music. He hits everything, whether it be show musicals, country music, gospel, or whatever. He hits it right on. And when I went to see Camelot, I was on the very front row with our friends and family, and Jackie and I were there, and I was blown away, because at that very last part of Camelot, he comes out And he does his oration, and it was just unbelievable. He was actually reliving that identity, and it was just amazing.
He was that King was, Arthur.
Yeah, that was his dream role. He has always wanted to play King Arthur. He had played it once before here in Murfreesboro, mm-hmm. and to play it again in Cannon County was a great honor and a privilege for him. He loved it.
And they did such a great job with that show, the costume, the
oh,
set.
Oh, unbelievable.
They just did an amazing job. The music was great.
They have gained national attention, the
yes,
Cannon County Art Center. It
oh,
really
yes,
has.
Yeah.
And
they're
we're going to have Donald Fan on tomorrow, and we're going to talk about it. But it's going to be over the Maple Street Grill upstairs, June the 7th.
That's correct.
And John is, and his gang are going to be performing.
That's
the
right.
The Balladeers, I think you call them.
Mm-hmm. We start at 5 o'clock, and we go until the last man standing.
And we were there when the last person
That's
was standing
right.
last time. And I'll guarantee you, we will be there that Thursday
Thank
night.
You, Truman. We'll be
and
glad
everybody
to see
in Murfreesboro should be there because you're really supporting a great cause. Plus, you're listening to some of the best musicians anywhere in the Middle Tennessee area. And it's going to be a fun night.
Thank you so
it's
much.
It's good to have you two on.
Thank you, Truman.
Thank
it's
you.
Been a pleasure.
See you tomorrow.